This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Flip, flip, flip all these burgers.
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest. And the latest is we are live. Let me hear from you, good people. We are live on the road on a thirsty Thursday. Buffalo Wild Wings, and we are in Cyprus. Right off US 290, make your way on out here. And this is going to be a nice way to just hang out and have a good night. You want to watch some Thursday night football. We'll get to that matchup here soon. I'm guessing Tyler will have more on that matchup a little bit later.
That's
on.
That's right.
Best bets. But there's TVs, plenty of TVs all over the place. You want to watch the game. You want to watch some NBA. You want to watch some hockey. They've got it all for you.
Your boy.
They've got Jackass Jim Nantz on TV if you want to watch that. Too, you can do all of that.
I just got right here. Plenty of get into a controversy.
I just think I would trip him if I had the chance. All right, I don't want him to fall, but I just want him to lose his balance a little bit. I would stick a foot out. Anyway,
yeah, he definitely got some white draws on.
Absolutely, and he probably had skid marks all over the place. But
depends.
Come on out for some good food and drinks. And if you are here within the next hour, in this hour, if you are just walking in or you're on your way, we are going to be hooking people up. Two different opportunities to win a four-pack, as Clint said, four-pack of lower bowl-level tickets to Sunday's game against the Broncos. If you've not gotten a ticket and put it in our raffle box, you ain't got to fill nothing out. Just grab a ticket, put it in our raffle box, and you will have a chance to win. And to let you know, we are going to get our first winner after this segment ends. So you need to go ahead and get in this raffle box, not physically, but put your ticket in the raffle box to give yourself a chance to win. That would be funny if somebody actually tried to get into the raffle box. That would be interesting. But, yes, we are doing that. Two opportunities. We will do our first one as soon as this segment ends, and then later on in the 5 o'clock hour, you got a chance to win another four-pack of tickets to the Texans-Broncos game coming up on Sunday. All right, Clint, Thursday night football tonight, Ravens-Dolphins. I certainly believe they thought this was going to be a much more compelling game when the schedule came out. Yeah, the Dolphins, a team with Tyreek Hill and Mike McDaniel and Tua, a team that I don't know if they're a contender, but they're always when they're healthy, fun to watch and seem to be around. And then the Ravens, who came into the season as the odds on Super Bowl favorite. Well, hell, right now, they both got two wins. They're 2-5, both of them. But Lamar Jackson does return in this game. He's missed the last three games with a hamstring issue. Hasn't played since September 28th. He returns in this game, and obviously that changes the game. We watched whoever the hell that was in those Ravens uniforms play the Texans several weeks back. It certainly wasn't the team we've watched the last several years that have been one of the top Super Bowl contenders. But that game is tonight. The Ravens really need to get going. They got a big win against Chicago last week without Lamar. Tyler Huntley led that. I'm guessing they probably wish they had Tyler Huntley to run that offense the last several weeks and not Cooper Rush. But the Ravens are a 7.5-point favorite. That's the line I have. Tyler may have something different. But they're a 7.5-point favorite. And this is an interesting game, but a game the Ravens have to win. By the way, they are still favored to win the AFC North. They're 2-5. They are still the betting favorite to win the AFC North. What's your thoughts about this game tonight?
Yeah, look, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a chance to run away with that division and peed down their leg with two straight losses, and now that division, I mean, it's if Baltimore and Lamar Jackson can keep it together, there's no reason why they can't make a run, to be completely honest with you. I believe their games with Pittsburgh are still have yet to come, so they've got two head-to-head matchups. And with the struggles defensively in Pittsburgh, that division is absolutely up for grabs. What can Baltimore do with their struggling defense? What can Baltimore do with Lamar Jackson being healthy? But that's nor here nor there. This game tonight, to me, it's yes, it's 2-5 football teams, but they've both given you a reason to tune in. We just mentioned Lamar Jackson and his return. That is, if you're a football fan, he alone is a reason to turn into a primetime football game.
Which he makes Derrick Henry look different. He makes everybody look different.
Yeah, he just changes the game completely for them. And then you look at Baltimore. They beat the doors off the Atlanta Falcons last week, 34-10. And so, yeah, it's a 2-5 football team, but it is a football team that has the potential to be explosive, fun to watch. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't watch it. I don't know if that was Dolphins or Atlanta. I don't know if one of them played well or the other one messed the bed. I'm not real sure. Probably a little bit of both. But nonetheless, on a Thursday night game, primetime game, you look at – I'm sorry, 2-6. I said 2-5. But, typically, no Lamar and the Dolphins not at least handling business last week, I'm not even thinking about checking in.
Now you're in.
I'm going to have me a good night with the kiddos and might get on that back porch with this good weather. This game's got me – I'll peek into this one. This one's got real legs.
Yeah, and the big problem for the Ravens was their defense, right? And they've gotten Roquan Smith back, and they've gotten Kyle Hamilton back, and they've gotten Ronnie Stanley. They got a lot of their guys back.
The only one on the injury report that I saw for Baltimore that still is a problem, he's going to be there all year long, is Matt Ibike.
Yeah, he's out for the year.
That one's done. But everybody else, they're back, I believe.
They had a bye. And it showed, Clint. They gave up 16 to the Bears, and the Bears have been, I mean, they're Jekyll and Hyde, but they've had some good moments offensively, and they held them to 16, and they held that Rams team that obliterated the Jags the week after. They held them to 17. They just didn't. Just Cooper Rush sucked. So it looks like that
damn,
defense.
Cooper Rush catching drive by.
I'm just saying, with 17-3. I'm just saying, man. It looks like they just need their defense to be all right with the weapons and what they can do offensively. And Clint, Clint Tyler, I think the Ravens are poised to go on a real run. When you look at this schedule, man, they got Dolphins, they got Vikings, they got Browns, they got Jets, they got Bengals. That's their next run. They got Steelers at home behind that. They got Bengals again. Then they got a tough stretch against the Patriots and the Packers. And then they got the Steelers again. Like, I mean, they got a chance to go 8-2. They got a chance to really run things with their schedule.
I don't know if I agree with them still being the favorite, but I don't think it's crazy. I like
their
Pittsburgh.
Schedule really softened
I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan. I'm a fan of the Steelers in general. I'm a Mike Tomlin fan. So, I mean, I feel like the Steelers I think it'd be a really good story to see them kind of get this thing together and Mike get off the hot seat and Aaron have a little success, so people may get off his back a little bit. I like DK Metcalf, so I'd like to see them hang on to this thing.
Their defense is unrecognizable,
but they got too many names and too many good players over there for it to be this way.
And they got the Colts coming into town, so they can.
Is that prime time?
No, I don't know if it's prime time.
Boy, it should be.
They've got 4-4 written all over them after that game.
Yeah,
the way the Colts have played. So big one tonight. Again, stay with us a little bit later on. T-Mill's best bets. He will. he will actually get you some action for that coming up next.
When I came out of the darkness.
5 o'clock fire.
Damn, he's good with those.
Well, he heard Aaron, and you knew that was all she wrote for that one. All right, injury report here for the Texans and the Broncos here on a Thursday. This is official. We'll get to the Broncos here in a second, Clint. We heard from Nico Collins. He was a full participant in practice along with Christian Kirk. Not limited, full participant today in practice. So it looks like those two are going to be back. Nico Collins said he will be back. He said he is back. Limited participants, Clint, Danico Autry, and Dylan Horton didn't practice yesterday. They returned to practice. Braxton Berrios is dealing with a chest thing. We just talked to Woody Marks earlier today. If you missed that, we had him on in the second segment around 2:20. You can hear that conversation we had with Woody Marks. But he was a limited participant with the calf. The big one here, Clint, is Dalton Schultz. It's the second straight day he did not practice. And, again, I want to make sure this is known for those who don't know. They did sign a tight end fullback to their practice squad in Dalton Keene. So they did that ahead of the week. And now we've seen Dalton Schultz not practice 2 days in a row. D'Amico did yesterday. He did say yesterday that he does believe they expect to have him back later on in the week. But now we've got to take this a little bit more serious of Dalton Schultz not practicing back-to-back days.
Yeah, look, I'm gonna give him the rest day. I'm gonna give him the vet day.
Back-to-back rest days?
I think there's obviously some kind of issue there. I just don't think it's gonna keep him from playing. I'm D'Amico,
give him a third one.
D'Amico, right? Just give him all three of them. Hell, let him wait till Sunday. But the D'Amico's comments yesterday make me feel really good about Dalton Schultz. Without that, I would be majorly concerned.
They sounded
right now.
Promising.
Yeah, look, I mean, if we didn't see him carted off the field, and D'Amico Ryans had seemed to be pretty positive about him playing. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's, hopefully, you know, tomorrow this changes a bit.
Yeah.
And he's a go. I mean, you got Nico and Kirk and Christian Kirk back. It'd be a hell of a blow to lose Dalton Schultz right on that and not have those guys play together and play this week against this defense.
Yeah.
I'd like to see this offense with the full stable of weapons against this defense.
I was going to say, you're going to need it against this defense.
Well, you're going to need it, no doubt, but it's going to give you a chance to see really what this team is built of and made of.
Yeah. This may be the toughest defense they face this season. They have some other ones on the schedule. But especially for what the Broncos do well, you want to have all your parts there. On the other side of this, Clint, I know some people may hear this name and not think a ton of it, but for the Broncos, on the Broncos side, Dre Greenlaw, he should go. He had a quad. He was a full participant. He was suspended last week for walking down an official after the Giants game, but he'll be back. And then, obviously, Pat Surtain did not participate today with that pec. Don't expect him to go. But Marvin Mims Jr., that is to watch. Maybe that name doesn't ring a bell a lot. Number 19 for the Broncos. He's got a concussion. He was out yesterday, so he has not practiced all week. Obviously, if we look at what happened with Nico last week, he had a concussion and did the same thing, didn't practice, and didn't play. He's not one of their best players, so to speak. He's not one of the guys you think about when you think about the Broncos immediately, but in a lot of different ways, he is their big play threat, right? He is dangerous in the kicking game and is big in field position, if not taken on all the way back. And he is maybe their number one deep threat. Obviously, Courtland Sutton is their top guy as a receiver. But they do a lot of jet sweeps with him. They do a lot of reverses. Sean Payton tries to get the ball in Mims' hands multiple times in different ways a game. I think this is a huge this is not as important, but right up there with Surtain missing, because this is a big, big, big play threat that they potentially may not have available for them. It bodes well for the Texans if he's not able to go.
Yeah, well, look, we've heard him talk about it. When you talk about the variety of offensive plays and schemes and approaches that Sean Payton can throw at a defense, Mims has a lot to do with that.
Yep.
He has the ability to move. He has the ability to line up in different places. You can hand it to him. You can throw it to him. Screen game, deep game, red zone, he's a problem. So he is really one of the the guys, the players that has the skill set and the mindset to be able to allow Sean Payton to be so multiple. So you're right. I mean, this is a big plus for the Texans. If Marvin Mims can't go, former Mr. Texas, by the way, I believe, from about 5 or 6 years ago, played at Oklahoma, but he's out of Texas, somewhere up in the Dallas area, I believe. But if he doesn't go, it's a hit to the Denver Broncos offense, no doubt.
Him and R.J. Harvey are two guys they like to do a lot of different things with and find different ways.
That's right.
To get them involved. All right, that is the latest on the injury report. Some important ones for both teams as they get ready to go on Sunday.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, as I said, Clint, the first person, probably Mike Elko is down the line, many others, but the first person to benefit from all the firings at Penn State, at Florida, at LSU, at Arkansas, all the firings is Nebraska's Matt Rhule. He signed a 2-year extension to 2032. He got more money from Nebraska. He was somebody that a lot of people were talking to potentially take the Penn State job and go up there. But, Clint, he is not going to be the last one. There are going to be a lot of teams that are going to have to jump in here, and if they really want to keep their coach, going to have to do what Nebraska had to do with Matt Rhule. Yep. By the way, I don't even know if this rules him completely out. We'll see what the buyout is, but maybe he does want to stay there. But this is going to happen a lot across the country with coaches that could be in the mix for some of these jobs.
Well, I mean, look, it happened with Kurt Cignetti. Now it's happening with Matt Rhule, and rightfully so, man. At Penn State, when a job like Penn State comes open, I mean, look, there's an argument of which job is the best job, but Penn State's the one that's getting people paid. Both of those guys, one's from Western New Jersey, I believe, the other's from PA. And so, I mean, those are jobs that they probably dreamed of having when they were kids.
Mike Elko, you better be ready to get that money, too, because you're from that area, too.
There you go, man. So, you know, but Mike's another one. Again, I just don't see Mike leaving. Mike is
I don't know about leaving, but I know Mike. I know A&M ain't going to step in right now and say, here,
crazier,
let's go and get in. I mean, he's 8-0. It's not like he didn't deserve it.
Crazier things have happened. But I mean, there's – when we can debate whether, you know, what – are they a blue blood? Are they not? Well, you know, where do they sit? I mean, when you're in the mix at A&M, at a place like A&M, like a handful of schools, when you're in the mix and in the midst of, middle of, doing what they're doing right now, it's hard to think that there's anywhere better. You know, I mean, there's obviously some family dynamics and stuff like that may change for Elko or anybody else, but, boy, when you're doing what they're on the verge of doing, I just don't know that it's going to get any better than that. But, yeah, look, Penn State's going to get a lot of folks paid. There's no doubt about it. Somebody's going to get Lane Kiffin paid, too. It ain't Penn State, but it's LSU or Florida.
Oh, Lane's getting paid.
Lane's going to get paid, too. So,
yeah, Lane's going to get paid.
I think there's a reason why everybody's looking at that, I don't want to say second tier, but the coach, like you got.
I think Eli Drinkwitz is going to get paid. I think Missouri's going to have to try to do what they need to keep him.
I don't know if Missouri can keep him, man. Nothing against Missouri, but I mean, because I'm in the same tier at Arkansas. But
yeah,
you know, you look at all these coaches that are thought to be moving, man. It starts with Rhett Lashley at SMU,
another one,
the Golich or however the hell you say his last name, the kid at South Florida. You know, it's these coaches that are at these places that, like, I look at Rhett Lashley. Rhett's making $2.5 million a year. I mean, Arkansas is going to triple that, if not more. You know,
yeah,
so, I mean,
you know those spots, but it's the spots that are at good spaces, at good places like an A&M or like a Nebraska that spins, that says, hey, man, we got to jump on this right now and get you paid in a way that maybe you didn't think you would. So, these openings are – these coaches out there, hell yeah. Hell yeah. It is opening up for us. All right, as we continue, by the way, we are going to hook somebody up for the first of the 2 4-pack of tickets. We're doing that as soon as this segment ends. So if you have not put your ticket in, you may want to do so. Again, we will do another 4-pack a little bit later on in the 5 o'clock hour. Coming up next, the biggest thing I fear in this game for the Texans, the number one concern for the Texans. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. As we are having a great time here out at Buffalo Wild Wings. We're in Cypress off 290. Make your way on out here and enjoy yourself. Yes, we'll be here till 6. And yes, you still have a chance. One more. Congratulations to our first winner of the 4-pack of tickets to Sunday's game against the Broncos. Lower bowl level tickets. We will do one more. We've got one more 4-pack to give away as soon as this segment ends. So you've got roughly 10 minutes or so to be able to jump in here and get your name or your ticket in our raffle box to give yourself a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets. So that's coming up here. And yes, there is stiff competition, but we will hook somebody else up with a
– Shut up, Tyler.
What? There's a lot of competition. God, dog, man. I'm only glad I couldn't see his face. That's the only thing.
I was not expecting it. I just heard it in the background. Yeah. And, oh, that was good, Tyler. That was really good.
Look at him, man.
When I can't see his face, when I forget who's on the other line.
There he is. Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of competition, but you could still be a winner. And while you're sitting there, order you up a drink. Bailey will take care of you. The rest of the staff will take you some good wings, some good food. As well, I think they got a deal on those boneless wings. Tyler's favorites you can get hooked up there as well. All right, Clint, I want to play this audio for you and the people. Zach Bye, he was on In the Loop yesterday, and Zach has covered the Broncos for years and years. And I know Zach a little bit myself. I've had conversations with Zach. He's a guy that knows what he's talking about. And does good great work there at our sister station in Denver. In fact, I don't even think they're our sister station. I believe I just made that up. So they're not our sister station, but he does a great job there in Denver. He talked about to me what I believe is got to be the number one thing keeping Nick Caley up, the number one thing keeping C.J. Stroud up, the number one concern for DeMeco. If we talk about DeMeco is giving more time and energy to the offensive side of the ball. Well, this week, this is what they have got to be game planning, the number one thing they're worried about. No, it's not Patrick Surtain being out. It is the front of the Denver Broncos. They lead the league in sacks by a mile and pressures, and it's been that way for the last 2 years. Here's Zach Bye's breakdown on what to me is the biggest thing that the Texans have to solve in this game.
Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator here, when he believes that he's got a matchup of strength, he will not send pressure. When you look at the Broncos up front, which is really the strength of the entire football team, as good as their secondary is and their safeties and some of their members on offense, the strength is the front seven. And when you have a guy like Zach Allen, keep that name in your back pocket. A big 99 in the middle. Led the NFL in quarterback hit a year ago. Led the NFL in quarterback pressures from the D-tackle position a year ago. Coming off a game where he sacked the quarterback again. It starts with with him, the push in the middle. And then you have these two edge rushers in Jonathan Cooper and Nick Benito, who are just absolute freaks when it comes to get off. I think they're number one and number two in the NFL in terms of their, you know, pass rush win rate and their get off. Nick Benito, if you guys haven't had a chance to look at him, 8 sacks in 8 games, had 13.5 sacks a year ago. He's fantastic. He's going to be up for Defensive Player of the Year. These guys really get after the quarterback, and because they're both elite at their position, both double-digit sack guys a year ago, the number one duo in that department, you can't really send as much help when you're getting it from both sides of the defense and also getting that push from the middle.
All right, that is Zach Bye, who hosts afternoons in Denver and covers the Broncos. And Clint, that to me is the biggest concern. Clint, they got what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4. They got 5 guys that have 4 sacks or more on this defense. And as he said, Nick Benito from Oklahoma, Nick, he may be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. And what he does, and as he talked about his speed off the edge, his bend, that is to me a real concern for Arriante Ursery. We've seen him struggle at times with guys that are that size and that have that speed off the back end, and we always don't see him get enough help all the time. Hopefully that changes. And Cooper's really good off the edge, and Zach Allen. They just have a lot of different guys that can get after the quarterback, and that is still been one of the primary issues for the Texans. We saw what it looks like when you can protect C.J. Stroud, but we saw the previous week and other times in this season, like against Seattle, who I think the Broncos are similar at their front, but I think they're the Seahawks on steroids, that they've struggled in how the game has gone offensively for C.J. Stroud and Nick Cates.
Well, look, I think Denver is better personnel-wise. They got better players on the defensive side of the football, and they approach the game a little different stylistically, right? I mean, you look at Seattle, they're a little bit more base in their front four. We're going to play games with the tight end, the tackle, D-end stunts, the twist, the picks and pick and roll type stuff. Whereas when you look at what Denver's going to do, sure, everybody does some of that stuff, but Denver's going to they're going to cover all 5 offensive linemen so that the offensive linemen have to work one-on-one and bet that their guys are better than you. They've got a presence in the middle in Allen that is as good as you're going to find. And then you got the guys coming off the edge that are top tier in the league as well. There's nothing you can do about that interior play. Now you can hope they don't go 5 down, and when they don't go 5 down, you can double Allen. You can do some different things there, but there's really not a whole lot you can do. I would expect some major inside push in the pocket when you're throwing the football, and I think it's going to be very difficult to run the football in between the tackles. So if you're the Texans and being the game plan offense that they are, I would expect them to help the tackles. Hopefully the key here, hopefully Tytus Howard can handle
his
own
with Cooper.
Hopefully that is selfishly for me, like the matchup that I want to see is Tytus Howard one-on-one with no help on the end. And can he become a guy? Can this be a game where people look at Tytus Howard and go, damn, that dude right there has got a chance to be one of the best in the league? Or do you look up and go, ah, here we go. We got a guy that can play 5 positions, 4 positions, but he ain't a great tackle kind
and
of
we need help on both sides.
Right, right.
Because Ursary's going to need help.
You got
to
help. You got to help him. You got to run right at these guys on the outside. So, you know,
it sounds like you're more concerned about, like, Zach Allen on the inside.
Well, I'm not concerned about them because there's no answer. Like, you just tell your guys to hang on for dear life, do the best that you can, and then you've got to, like the beauty about, like, quarterback play and offensive coordinator is, like, if I know my middle of my offensive line is going to be stout, I'm not worried about speed off the edges. I don't care. Like, you got to be a bad tackle for that. If my quarterback can set me and push up in the pocket, you got to be awful outside in order for that, right? But if this Allen kid can push my center and my guard into my lap and I don't have anywhere to push up into, now both of these guys off the edge become a major, major problem. Not because they're good, but because the middle gets pushed and I don't have anywhere to go. You got me trapped, right? So I can't do anything about the middle. I can't. There's nothing I can do about it, right? But what I can do is I can cause problems for these guys off the edge, right? That's what has to be the game plan. I would expect some outside zone stuff. I know there's PTSD out there after Bobby Slowick trying to force the issue, but I would expect some outside zone stuff. I would expect some of the outside G scheme stuff. And I would expect in passing situations a lot of help for your tackles. Again, hopefully Titus Howard can handle his own. That would be a beautiful thing to come out of this game and feel like we've got a tackle that we can put on either side, and he's one of the better tackles in the league. But you got to help Ariante Ursery in a big way, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Text line coming through with did you really just say Denver has a better defense? Our pass rushers over there is all day, not to mention our DBs.
No,
one ever said that.
No, they misunderstood. Again, I mean, I was talking about Seattle. I think Denver has better personnel than Seattle, not than the Texans' defense.
Now, I will step and say this. Yes, their pass rush, their total pass rush, is better than the Texans. They've had the most hits on quarterbacks. They've had the most sacks, and they have. I mean, right now the Texans, the Texans and the Broncos, when it comes to sacks, the Broncos are number one in the league, and that's by 11 sacks by the next closest team. Yes, the Texans edge rushers, and I think Will Anderson and Daniil are probably guys that are better than those two as a whole. But as a whole, when you put Allen in there and you put those two guys in there and what they do in just rushing the passer, they've been the best pass rush in football for the last 2 years. I mean, and yes, the Texans are really, really good too. But especially when you put that against the Texans' offensive line and the struggles they've had. Yes, I think the Texans' overall defense is the best in football right now. But we're talking about rushing the passer, and we're talking about getting pressure, and you combine that with, all right, hey Ed, and that switcheroo thing they're running with Juice and Lakin Tomlinson, like, yeah, that's going to be a problem. Hell, you've watched it. You've watched every one of these games. You've watched when the Texans have run against teams that rushed the passer. Well, the Broncos rushed the passer better than anybody else for the last 2 years. Will and Daniil Hunter, I would take over those two. But as a whole, like that Zach Allen dude on the inside, you haven't really run into that.
Yeah, he's a problem. You got a different dude in the middle right there that we just don't have that kind of presence.
Yeah,
and
fairly most teams don't have that
right.
And those two on the edges, right?
That's
just got to be what they have to solve coming up. All right, coming up as we continue, T Mills' best bets. As you know, he does his thing. He will get you to that money. And a bit of a surprise in this game. It looks like some people love the Texans. We'll discuss that coming up next. Let me get you out of the way, Tyler.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. And it's been such a fun time. Shout out to everyone who's made their way out here. Randy, a.k.a. Norm, he's in the building. He said he got off the plane from Canada and said he had to get up here with us, man. Shout out to him for dropping by. And I see Angie in the building having a good time as always. it's been a fun time. We love this location out here in Cypress, Buffalo Wild Wings. Remember, tomorrow the party continues here with The Drive, as it is a football Friday, and you got a chance to win tickets to a future Texans game tomorrow as well. We'll be at Raven Tower in Houston. Raven Tower in Houston, 310 North Street in Houston, Texas. We'll be there tomorrow, 2 to 6. Plenty of prizes to win. Their Academy Academy Sports and Outdoors gift cards to win there. Tom Ball Ford free oil change to win there. And as I said, you can have a chance to win Texans tickets to a future game courtesy of our good friends at the Houston Ford dealers as we continue to roll through. And shout out to Bailey and the rest of the Buffalo Wild Wings staff. They have been great as always, taking care of us, and make sure you take care of them as well. Shout out to Andy, our engineers, kept us on the air and on YouTube and Twitch. I know there are a couple people who've walked up here and told me they're watching us and they're sitting here in front of us. Go ahead, do your thing. But thanks to Andy keeping us on there as well. Shout out to our promo staff, Shay, who's running around here. He has been working very, very hard as always. And then, of course, Tyler Milner holding it down back at the station doing his thing as well. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. They've got the Hall of Famer, Mr. White Draws himself, John McClain.
Make sure
coming up to preview. That's right, to preview this this Texans-Broncos game. And then tonight you can listen to Thursday Night Football Live right here following the fellas on Texans All Access, Ravens-Dolphins. You can listen to that right here live. Area 45 off tonight, Ravens-Dolphins. Their T-Mill's Best Bets coming up here in just a few minutes. All right, Clint, I know earlier we heard from Nick Caley, and I know there are a couple of things that he said that jumped out to you from the last game as they prepare to this game coming up against the Broncos, maybe their most difficult test. Any of those things that Nick Caley talked about that kind of jumped out to you?
Yeah, look, I think he was asked about, you know, how do you kind of balance taking what you did well last week in previous weeks and applying it to what you're going to do moving forward when you're a game plan offense, when so much of what you do depends on what the defense does. And he just answered it in a way of a game plan way of it all starts with what the opponent, you know, with evaluating the opponent kind of deal. And I don't know. It didn't surprise me because clearly they are a game plan. And as much as I don't like it, I got to do my best to not feel like I need to tell everybody how much I don't like it every time we discuss it. But the reality of it is there are a couple of guys on this offense that I think just have to – it can't be a game plan approach.
Or at least they have to be in the game plan.
Yeah, in a major way, man. And it's just, Woody Marks is one of them, I think.
Absolutely.
Offensively. He is a guy that not only did to have in the game plan and be handling the ball as much as you can, but he is just a different dude. Can you survive with the others in there? Yeah, absolutely. But you know, Woody Marks is a guy that gives you a chance. He can catch a ball out of the backfield, make a guy miss, and go get 50 yards, as we saw him do last week. And against these better teams, you know, the more often you can put him in place to do that versus Nick Chubb, the better off you're going to be. Same thing with Nico Collins. The when you spread the ball around is great. That's fine. But the more times you can get it in the hands of 12, obviously, the more likely he is for a big play, the more likely it is for him to get in a rhythm, the more likely it is for them to have to start adjusting as a defense. And so I just think those two guys, I know it's a game plan, I get it, but at some point in time there has to be a balance of, hey, we're going to game plan, we're going to design everything we do week to week based on what the defense does. There has to be some level of, hey, we got a young star in Woody Marks. I mean, we got to use this guy.
Just got to get the ball in playmakers' hands, man, especially when you play against elite level defenses.
Yeah.
And this is an elite level defense.
Yeah.
And you got to find a way to get them the ball and to get them involved.
Yeah. That's really, I mean, he said a lot, talked a lot about the six offensive linemen being used in scheme. I think that's tremendous. They do a good job with it.
And mind you, I can get your concern because when you watch what they did last week, 9 different guys touched the ball, caught passes, which was good, you know. And if you could have it that week every day, where every Sunday that, hey, everybody seems to win as quick as possible. But at some point it is like, hey, man, that ball's got to find 27. That ball's got to find 86. That ball's got to find 12. That ball has got to find 14.
Well, I mean, look, you just think about it. I mean – you're talking about those two guys specifically, right? If you go into this thing and I'm just going to take the ball wherever it you know, the coverage tells me or whatever matchup I like, you know, he better be a guy that can win right now, because this defense is going to pressure. This defense is going to heat you up. There's going to be free runners. There's going to be unblocked defenders off the end. So whoever you pick to win on the slant or win on the quick out or win deep, like they got to win right now. So whoever you pick, it better be your best guy, and that needs to be 12, right? And the other part of that is what you're talking about, and I'm just Nico and Mark, Woody Marks are the two, I think, the two obvious ones for people that are listening to understand what I'm saying. Like, All it takes, Ron, is one time in a 3rd-and-8 situation, you check the ball down to Woody Marks and he goes and gets you 9. That's worth keeping him in the game more often. You know what I mean? You get into a 3rd-and-16 where you know, hey, odds are they're going to bail, they're going to play coverage, I'm going to have to check the football down. Okay, well, I checked the football down in a 3rd-and-15 situation, and he meets the first defender at the 12-yard mark, and I need 15. Woody Marks has got a chance to make a guy miss. I don't know that Nick Chubb's got that. I damn sure know Dare Ogunbowale ain't got that. And so it's one of those guys. In a 3rd-and-15, 3rd-and-20 situation, one guy misses, and it's likely you're going to get that first down. You're going to convert something that's very improbable. And that can be accomplished by getting the ball, keeping Woody Marks in the game, and giving yourself that opportunity more often than not.
All right, let's get to T. Mill and his best bets.
Come on.
You can always check him out if you need to remember, you missed it at T. Mill Real Deal. And he's had a pretty solid week in the orange, trying to get to the green. What you got tonight?
Yeah, we've been killing the NFL bets. If you haven't been paying attention, overall, NFL's putting money in your pocket whenever I'm giving you picks. I'm just saying.
I love when you say, if you hadn't been paying attention.
I mean, I'm just saying, it's free money to go in your pockets if you want to tell any of these winners. I got 5 bets for you tonight between the Ravens and Dolphins as they get NFL Week 9 going. First, I believe you were right, Ron. The line in this game is about 7.5. Dolphins plus 7.5. I teased mine up just a little bit. I wanted to get rid of that hook. Dolphins plus 8 tonight. That's your first bet. Next, I'm on the under in this one. I believe it's set now at 51, but I got in on under 52 between the Dolphins and Ravens. And then 3 player props real fast. 1 Raven first, Derrick Henry. Over 87.5 rushing yards for him tonight. Next, I got a Dolphin that used to be an Aggie. A-Chain, over 32.5 receiving yards. And no, I'm not going to say his name the way he says because we called him A-Chain in Aggie Land the whole time he was there and he never said anything. Jaylen Waddle, last one, over 4.5 receptions for that Dolphins receiver tonight. Probably my favorite bet of the evening. Jaylen Waddle, over 4.5 receptions. Those are your 5 best bets, boys.
Tyler with the hill with his wishes. I like all those Dolphin passing bets because I think they're going to be trailing, and you could see this being a lot of, you know, padding stats, throwing the ball because they're down by double digits. I think it's a good one to stay away from the Lamar Jackson rushing yards. I think it's a good one to stay away because I just don't know how they're going to. I know Andy loves them. I just don't.
The old white draws weatherman.
I know it. If I'm you, Tyler, or other or bettors, I'm thinking I don't know how they're going to handle him with this hamstring. Could they be cautious? You don't know. We'll see. He'll probably rush for 100 tonight, but that's a good look. Check out at T Mill Real Deal if you missed those bets. Again, tomorrow, come on out. Little Football Friday. We'll be out in Houston, Raven Tower. Where is that? The old what?
The old White Oak Music Music Hall.
Yeah,
I think it's outdoor
hall,
though, isn't it? Yeah,
but, old White Oak Music Hall. It's now Raven Tower. Come hang out with us tomorrow, 2 to 6.
The building, the room up on top of the little tower thing. I don't know if we're going to be up there. That'd be cool. I've never been up there, Ron.
All right. Well, we'll
see. Sits up off the ground a little bit.
We'll be out there tomorrow. I don't know where we'll be.
I mean,
but 2 to 6.
Doing?
Come hang out with us. Plenty of prizes as well. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron, the show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Thinking about size all the time. He's thinking not rounding the bases to celebrate. He's thinking, damn it, I got to try to stick this jacket on. I'm going to be Chris Farley, fat guy in a little coat. And then he didn't even try to put it on. They got it on his arm. He's get this damn thing off of him. They should have multiple sizes in that ugly-ass jacket.
Don't do it.
Fat guy in a little coat. Fat guy in a little coat.
All right, thanks, Tyler. Let's roll.